support groups for people with dementia are usually held in person, but that changed during the pandemic. It turns out, though, there was a silver lining to that. Kathy Ritchie from member station KJZZ tells us how some people caring for loved ones with dementia are finding themselves getting support for the very first time.
Brandon Felt is not your typical 25-year-old.
I would say, a caregiver, full-time student, and I manage overall health care for my mom, who has frontal temporal dementia.
Or FTD, which is a lesser-known type of early-onset dementia that can affect language, behavior, and movement. Her first symptoms started in 2015, and the following year, she needed full-time care at age 58. Brandon was only 19 at the time.
I was in my first year of college. I had to drop out just in order to manage her diagnostic journey.
Which can mean countless doctor's appointments, tests, and in the case of Brandon's mom, a brain biopsy. And at the time, he didn't have a lot of support. Even though he knew about the support groups offered at the research center at the University of California in San Diego, where his mom was receiving care.
But I wasn't able to participate in it because I was just so busy. Like, I had 10 things to do and only had time to get 8 of them done. And so I couldn't add, you know, getting support on top of that.
But the coronavirus pandemic changed everything. Those in-person meetings went virtual. And for the first time, Brandon was able to participate in a support group.
The increase of availability of these support groups allowed me to kind of refocus on myself, take care of myself, and actually start to process some of the emotions that I had set aside during that time when I was not able to process them.
And he's been able to connect with others who are facing similar struggles. Tracy Trescott is a licensed social worker at the Shiley Marcos Alzheimer's Disease Research Center at UCSD. She leads some of the support groups there.
It's a different group, yes, but it's more people. We have a lot more people joining.
And they're joining from all over the country.
And we're also seeing, which I hadn't seen before, whole families being involved in the support group for the one person.
And that's a big deal, says Trescott, because often the dynamic can play out like this. One person is a primary caregiver. They're living with or near the person who has dementia. The siblings live far away and may not understand the day-to-day challenges. Then conflict ensues. But let's circle back to Brandon. His mother has a lesser-known type of dementia, FTD. Luckily, he can take his mother to a place where the providers understand FTD and its challenges. But there are only so many FTD-specific clinics around the country. Bridget Moran McCabe is a support services manager at the Association for Frontotemporal Degeneration. She says those clinics have seen a surge in participants since going virtual.
So, for instance, you know, Massachusetts General has a large FTD center, and the support group that is affiliated with that clinic, they've been getting up to 50 people a month.
And doing a great job of managing that, she says, by getting more volunteers to host smaller breakout rooms. Of course, the association has had its share of challenges. Many of the AFTD support groups are led by active caregivers. And when everything closed, including adult day centers and other respite services,
that meant that, you know, some of them had to step away because their role got so much more intense.
More than a year has passed since virtual support groups started popping up across the country, and they're likely here to stay. Licensed social worker Tracy Trescott says, if anything, they'll have some type of hybrid support with both in-person and virtual options. And for caregivers like Brandon Felt, accessing support groups around the country is a lifeline in an otherwise isolating situation. For Here and Now, I'm Kathy Ritchie in Phoenix.